Before we get to all that, though, time to check in with John Quinn from Quinn Elite Sports. Now, this is something I have been enjoying listening to from home after the last 3 months, and now I'm keen to ask John some questions myself. Quinny, good morning.
Andrew, morning. How are you going?
I'm going well, and I did get an email from my gym saying that a couple of weeks ago, saying that the spin classes that I used to attend are now back up and running, which is good news for everyone. But today, can we want to talk about riding and running on different surfaces and what effect that can have? Now, tell me, why is it so hard going from a spin class where I feel like I'm about to die afterwards to then riding on the road?
It's all to do with the size of the bike, gearing, your position on it, angles of the joints, all of those things, wind resistance even. They all play a big role in terms of you. And we're pretty sensitive, I guess, in terms of how we train. That's what we then get when we go out and play the game or do the activity. That's one of the problems when footballers have. When they have a pre-season, they've all trained really hard, but then when they get in the game, they're not quite ready. It usually takes 3 or 4 goes. So the spin classes you've been doing has been getting you fit, so your fitness is up for the specific conditioning. If you're going out and doing a road bike session or whatever, that's not going to be there. You're going to have to spend a few sessions getting your body in nick for that activity.
Now, Quinny, my spin sessions, I sweat a lot. And sometimes the road, you know, you travel around, it doesn't feel like you sweat as much, Quinny. What's the difference there?
That's a very big concept called evaporation, I reckon. when you're outdoors, you know, it's just evaporating. Indoors, it's, you know, it's just a different temperature. Go cycling on a hot day, a humid day, you'll be sweating just as much, Scotty. I reckon you're fine.
I get very wet.
Struggle with that concept?
The way to test that, and in all seriousness, because hydration is a big thing for performance, not just in terms of what you're doing in sport, but also your day-to-day activity and your ability to do your job as well. Weigh yourself. So weigh yourself before you start the session and then weigh yourself at the end of it. For every litre that you have lost, or every kilogram that you have lost, you drink 1.5 litres to replace it because you get what we call a metabolic burn. So you keep using up your fluid. But, hydration is one of the really simple ways to maintain performance. And, just weigh yourself at the start. And I think you'd find if you're doing a spin class indoors, you think, gee, I'm sweating a lot, you'd be sweating just as much outdoors on the bike. You know, there might be a little bit of a difference just because of the ambient temperatures. But other than that, it'll be pretty much the same. So you weigh yourself and replace every kilo lost. It's 1.5 litres of fluid.
But the heart rate, I mean, when the instructor's yelling at you and you've got to go up and down and do all that sort of stuff, I mean, the heart rate in a spin class does have its ups and downs, which is good, I gather.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's the concept of what we call high-intensity intermittent training or HIIT training, and it's pretty much all the rage now all around the world. And, look, you're just putting it into a concentrated effort. But you could do that outdoors on a bike too, and, you know, but it's just probably a little bit harder without the music and people yelling and someone going flat out beside you. But it's a very similar sort of concept. But the main thing with the bike is just it's all to do with the gearing and the environment that you're actually cycling in.
So what is better for you, Quinny, the spin class or getting out on the road?
Oh, I think, you know, it depends on what floats your boat. You know, I think a lot of people like to get outdoors and get out into the real world. Other people like to have other people around them and find that quite motivating. For me, the simple answer is do what you enjoy doing. If fitness is your goal, do that. If you want to be a champion cyclist, you won't find too many of them going off the spin class to qualify for Tokyo Olympics.
No, of course.
Now, running on different surfaces is our other topic. You love coaching your athletes on the sand dunes.
I've always loved the sand dunes, and wherever I've been, I've spent some time in our early phases of the year getting my athletes on sand and running on sand, whether it was down in Tasmania or there in Victoria or certainly here in New South Wales. So actually only last weekend I've had my athletes down at the famous Wanda sand dunes down at Cronulla, but I've also, probably a month or so ago, I took them down to Palm Beach, where Home and Away is filmed, and we found these sand dunes tucked down the back there and did a pretty arduous session down in there. But yes, sand dunes have formed a part of my programs for many years now, and I like them for lots of different reasons. It's a tough session, but it's fairly forgiving on the body. There's minimal impact going on there, but the contact time on the surface is just that little bit longer that the muscles have to work in a different way. And what I'm trying to do is get strength endurance into my athletes, and that's just laying a bit of foundation for the running that's going to come in the next few months when we get back onto the track, when they finally start getting the tracks open and up and going for my guys here. The other thing that I really like about the sand is it's for stability, and particularly around the ankle joint. And in any movement, any sport where you've got change of direction and even running a bend, ankle stability is paramount. So for me, the sand running is as much about the ankle stability as it is about what we call ground reaction forces being decreased. So, I love the sand dune.
So, treadmill v... We all can't get to the sand dunes, unfortunately, but treadmill v grass v road. How do you rank those three, Quinny?
I hate treadmills, actually. Hate them. Look, it's an unnatural running gait for a start, and with the belt moving underneath you, like the ground doesn't literally move underneath you unless you're running downhill. So having a treadmill going underneath you is an unnatural thing. So if for any of the listeners listening to this, if you do like your treadmill because it's indoors and that's at the gym, what I'd say to you, put the belt on an incline of about 2 to 5% or 2 to 5 degrees. So therefore, it's not such a big impact going back through your body as you're running. So I'm not a much of a fan. There is a non-motorised treadmill that I've used, and they're probably better. In terms of running, if you've got any joint issues, particularly knee or hip, low back, try to stay on softer surfaces, and grass is probably the best one to be running on. And if you can, you avoid running on concrete. If you're going to run on concrete, you'll probably find that the times are faster because you get off the ground a bit quicker on concrete, but your body does pay a price for running on that harder surface.
So with the grass then, and I want to ask about barefoot running as well, because a lot of people do that. What's better, to get a good pair of shoes and run wherever you want on all terrains, or barefoot running that you often see people on the beach going for, or on grass as well?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. The running on all surfaces, I think that's probably more of a normal thing that you can do if you like. And so getting good quality footwear and get yourself fitted with good shoes. A lot of the chain stores now, and I won't mention because they're certainly not a sponsor of me, and they're not probably sponsoring the show, but some of the chains you can go to now, they actually employ qualified podiatrists to recommend the best shoes or footwear that you should be in. So, it's probably worthwhile looking at that. And don't get too sucked into the brands, but get a shoe that actually fits your foot and the issues that you may have with your foot. And that could include the width of your foot as much as the length of the foot. But when you talk about barefoot running, my issue with barefoot running is if your mechanics aren't spot on for barefoot running, then you're going to really exacerbate the problems that may be there. Also, just the inherent dangers when you go out running, a bit of broken glass in the cities now, look, it could be just a discarded needle or whatever. Just to hit those, that could be catastrophic. So I don't often get my athletes to run in bare feet. Having said that, I'll get the athletes that I coach very often to warm down in bare feet on the infield of the athletics track. So they'll run around on the grass on the infield. Reason why? Because it stretches out the bottom of the foot, what we call the plantar fascia, and again helps with all that stability and control within the feet. So it is important not to become too reliant on always being in footwear, but safety comes first.
Quinny, thanks again for your time today. Plenty more going into lockdown in Melbourne here. We've turned into East and West Berlin, so I'm sure they'll be keen to get out and do some exercise because there's not much else they can do. Thanks for your time again. We'll head to quinnelitesports.com.au to check out all the podcasts and